Okay, today is Wednesday, December 28, 2016, and we're sitting here on Town Common talking about the Sycamore Hill community. And can you tell me your name?
My name is Jay Hagan.
And is it okay that I'm recording you?
Yes, fine.
Thanks. So can you tell me a little bit about your connection to this area?
Well, I was reared here in this area. Up until I was about 11 or 12 years old. During that time, that's when the redevelopment came in, and they came in and with the eminent domain, I guess that's what it's called, clause to buy up property. There wasn't an option to not sell. You had to sell. I can remember a man came to the house, and during that time, my grandmother, it was my grandmother's house, and she was actually a part of our family. By the house being in her name, a man made an offer of about $2,800 for the house. And she looked at him and said, "Do you really think I'm stupid to offer $2,800 for a life's work here?" So my parents were one of the last ones to sell before we moved from down in this area. We were fortunate enough to be able to build another house and not to have to rent or go to the public housing or anything like that. So I can remember that very distinctly. My grandmother, she had been in this area all her life, and it was a big change for her to have to sell, pull up roots, and go someplace else, as it was for my parents too. So, I got a lot of fond memories. I was actually baptized in this church. We had a baptismal pool in the church, and me and my older brother was baptized in that church. I had an aunt who lived right on the corner of First and Evan Street. That was my grandmother's sister-in-law. Her name was Lola Tad. I don't know if anybody has mentioned her name in this, but she lived right there on the corner of Evans and First. The dentist office was on the corner of Evans and First, right across from her. My address was 111 North Evans Street, which was slightly going down the hill.
Okay.
And my mother, she taught school practically all her life. And also, my mother was the very first black female police officer here in town.
Wow.
Yeah. But before she started teaching school full-time, when she started teaching school full-time, she started to working with the recreation department during the summers. She was the playground director for the playground down here. Now, this area on Evans Street, as it went on down, that's where the playground sat.
Okay.
And the kids from all around came down here, and that's where they spent most of the days at the playground. My mother, she my mother was an excellent athlete coming up. She was a basketball player in high school. She played tennis when she went to college at West Virginia State University. And she was just an all-around athlete. She taught us how to play baseball as well as other kids, softball and just different sports and whatnot. She was sort of like a nanny for the area kids.
Yeah.
So that's where my relationship with a lot of the older people now, younger people, was developed through my mom's working with the recreation department.
So many people have spoke so highly of your mother. That's probably been one of the continual ringing true of everybody that we've talked to has had such warm memories of the playground and how loving your mother was.
As a matter of fact, my mother's picture in working with the Greenville Police Department is in the archives over at Joyner Library.
Well, I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Eleanor
Higgins.
Okay. That's great.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Anything else that really stands out to you, memories of growing up here?
Well,
in this community?
In regards to how we related to the different races with white people. I never really had any interactions, per se, that stands out to me with white people until probably my 11th grade year in high school. Mm. Because we was a close-knit community.
Yeah.
This area down here, it was dominantly black. And we had Little League, where we played over at South Greenville. And I guess you know that the whites had their Little League, and we had our Little League. We had our Tina League, they had theirs and whatnot. So wasn't anything negative that I can... that I can remember so much. I guess I was just so young and whatnot then.
Yeah.
I can remember when we walked to school, I went to elementary school at Fleming Street School, which is now Sadie Sauter. We were all meet up here on 2nd and Evans Street. Our different friends, the Gatmans, the Browns, the Daniels, and we all walked to school together. There wasn't any buses for us. We walked to school. The only negative thing is that when coming home from school sometime, the white kids would throw milk cartons out at us when we were on the way home, but that's neither here nor there. But I enjoyed this area. I just think that, sometimes I wonder how it would have been if we were allowed to stay here in this area. Now, the redevelopment, it was advantageous for a lot of families because a lot of families were living in homes that that really, really needed repairs. Because they were renting and not having the monetary means, the financial means to do any better, they did as well as they could do with what they had to do with. So,
where did y'all move to?
We moved to Memorial Drive. We moved, my parents built a house up there in 66, I think it was. And that's where we moved to. I can remember the weekend that we moved, just so happened that it was camporee time for the Boy Scouts. We also, we had Troop 131 right here at Sycamore Hill. And we went to camporee that weekend, and when we came back, my parents had already moved, and we went from being able to walk home from church to my parents had to come and pick us up to, you know, take us to our new home.
Yeah.
So that house is still there right now.
Did you have to change out schools?
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. Went to the same school. We only had one high school that we went to during that time. That was Epps High School. We had a couple elementary schools, which was Fleming Street and South Greenville. So wherever you stayed at, those are the schools that you went to. Wasn't any different districts or anything like that. It was just one single district. So I played on in this area quite a bit. That was some wooded areas where, you know, had trees and bushes and things of that nature. And we played different games, hide and seek. We played little army and cowboy games and whatnot. Also on this side of Green Street, I had a cousin who lived down there. His name is Ernest Adams, and his father had a store up here on Evans Street. His name, we called him Strollo. And that was the neighborhood store where everybody went to, you know, and bought different things and whatnot. Small store, but carried things that everybody needed during that time. Wiley Norcott, he had a little store right here on the corner, right behind his house on the corner of 2nd and Evans. I think I heard you mention Lonnie Norcott. That was his, I guess, grandson, nephew or somebody. But anyway, he's a relative of mine as well. So everything that we needed, we had it in this area. When we needed haircuts, it was right here, up here on Evans Street, between 2nd and 1st. We could go and get our haircuts. I can remember the little store, B. Wells, going there, and B. Wells sold hot dogs that were really good and ice cream cones. So when you did well, you could go to B. Wells for a nickel and get a nice big cone of ice cream.
Did any of those stores reopen? Do you remember?
No. Yes, it did. Adams Grocery opened, reopened on Pitt Street. But B. Webb's, he didn't reopen, I don't think. Of course, Peden's, they reopened across the river.
Okay.
Yeah, they were right there on the corner of Evans and 2nd Street. I can remember one of the matriarchs of that family, before she died, I made myself known to her over at the store over here, and she recognized the name and my family, my grandmother and whatnot. So I can remember when the National Guard did their training exercise, we would come up and watch them march up here on the corner at the armory. All that was exciting then. Yeah. So.
Did you fish in the river?
I didn't. We were prohibited from going down to the river because of drownings. I can remember plenty of whippings I got from going down to that river. When my mother was the playground director, some of the older boys would during the hot summer, would go down to the river and swim. And I've seen 7 different parents come down there and snatch their sons out of there and spank them all the way home. Yeah, so we were prohibited from going down to the river. I saw a guy drown down there. During that time, the guys from out in the country, the rural area, would come to this area to have fun on the weekend. I think you heard a mention about the little juke, what we call the juke joints,
yeah,
where they did drinking and dancing and whatnot. And this guy, he had been drinking, and on a bet, he bet some guys that he could swim across that river and then swim back. And what happened was he made it across, but coming back, evidently he got tired and cramped up, and he drowned. Those kind of things, my parents just did not want us down there,
yeah,
in the water swimming. Like I said, we were fortunate enough because during that time, my parents would, on the weekends, they would take us to the beach. Yeah. And so we had access.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of the kids down here did.
Yeah.
So do you still feel like you have a connection to the people who lived here with
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. We were a proud neighborhood down here. A lot of good athletes came from this area. A lot of scholars came from this area. The lady that you just finished talking to, she just ran for Lieutenant Governor this year. So we were a proud people down here. All right, we were proud people down here in this neighborhood.
Well, we just appreciate y'all coming out and talking to us and allowing us to preserve your history,
okay,
and tell the story. So I just thank you so much. I'm going to stop the recording. Do you have anything else?
No, but I was talking to Ronald Kimmelhorn yesterday,
mm-hmm,
and he told me that in February they're going to be a time to be set aside in February.
So we're going to have it's actually going to be March 3rd, and we're going to have a community celebration. So we'll send everybody an invitation,
okay,
for that.
I have some pictures,
okay,
that will be very important to what y'all are trying to,
okay,
do. My brother, when my mother passed in 2014, my mother had a scrapbook for all of us,
mm-hmm,
separately.
Mm.
Then she had a bunch of family pictures. Pictures of the area, you know, different things,
yeah,
from when we lived down here. My brother took the whole box home with him. He lives in Georgia.
Okay.
And I talked to him and told him what's going on with this. So he's going to get them back here to,
okay,
me. I thought he was going to have them back,
that's
here,
great,
to me before now.
Okay.
But I would like to bring those pictures.
We would love that. We would,
okay,
love that. I'll get with your information. We'll definitely have a day where we can scan everything in. And so you'll be able to keep the originals, and we can scan copies that we can have in the archive. That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Okay.